Amen? We saw that Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, he was talking about love. He was talking about relationships. And he said, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. So when he grew up, when he matured, he put away childish things. And this is right in the middle of a discourse about how we relate to one another in love. And in our life, we have to put away childish ways in relating to one another. As we grow older physically, we have to grow more mature in God and in the Word. I like what Ed Cole said, that maturity does not come by age. Maturity comes through the acceptance of responsibility. Through the acceptance of responsibility. And in our relationships, we have to accept and assume the responsibility that we are supposed to have. So Paul said, he goes, I put away childish things. And I hope over these weeks, I hope there have been some childish things that you've been putting aside. All right? And I don't mean just chocolate milk and cartoons. Okay? The way we relate to one another. Okay? And the way we do our relationships. And I want to talk about one today that is fairly significant, and I believe God's going to help us to understand. One of the ways, and we talked about in our relationships, that we say yes to the good and the grace that's in other people. We say yes. And we say no to the wrong and the evil, all right, to manipulation and control. And we say no to that which is not going to help our lives, and that is our responsibility, okay? But sometimes, and just our life and the way things have happened, a lot of us have had kind of some bumps and bruises, and some funny things have happened on the way to adulthood. And some of us, maybe the way we were raised or just the circumstances of our life, there were certain people in our life that we were not allowed to say yes to. We were not allowed to say no to. And so those muscles got injured. And if you don't use muscles, they atrophy. They get small. And so God wants us to be able to do that. We want to talk about the way that, and people use this term, in life, if you feel like you cannot relate to someone, it's in a sense you're always one down. You're one down from that person. And you're not accepted as an adult. I don't know if the way you grew up, but our family, we had quite a lot of parties at our house and functions and things like that. My mom and dad hosted a lot of that. And a lot of times families would come over and they would have an adult table. And there'd be adult things happening there, adult conversation, adult beverages. And then we had the kids' table, okay? And I remember sometimes as you were getting older, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, you're really old by now. I mean, you're 13 years old, and you're still at the kids' table. And here are these 4- and 5-year-olds, and you're like, oh, at the kids' table, okay? I don't know if you've ever experienced that growing up, or you weren't allowed to do certain things. Well, the troubling thing is that sometimes we've grown up, but we're still not allowed at the adult table of life. Sometimes in a family, in a business, maybe in a certain church that you went to. And so we always just feel like we're down, we're under, okay? And we want to address that today, okay? And throughout history, and if you just kind of look around the world, there have been really weird ways that people have determined who is superior, who's on top, who's better, and who's under. And there's a whole lot of world history that has to do with just that fact. That some group or some type of people say, no, we are above and you are below and you stay below. And it's really frightening and it's very troubling, all right? And so people have used gender, they've used education, economic status, marital status, education, to determine who's above and who's below. There are countries in this world where baby boys are better than baby girls. So much so that if a mother realizes that she's having a baby girl, she'll go for an abortion. All right. And she doesn't want to have a baby girl. Well, here's the question. Who told her? What in society or what in that culture said that a boy is better than a girl? Because in the Bible, God said he created them both male and female. All right. So both are created and stamped with the image of God. All right. And so all this kind of weird stuff happens in the earth today. All right. There are places where, you know, somebody says, well, who should be in charge? Who should lead? And they'll say, well, you know, these people are taller, or the way they look in their face, or this or that. Ah, yeah, that's a leader. Do you remember, and we'll talk about this, but when Samuel went to the house of Jesse to find out who was going to be anointed to be the next king, there were people, David's brothers, who were older, stronger, more professional. And everyone thought, surely, this is the one. But you see, God doesn't determine those kinds of things the way we look at things. All right? And so there's been a lot of trouble when it comes to this. If you just think of the last 100 years, Nazi Germany, Rwanda, apartheid in South Africa, India's caste system, all of these things are, I'm above, you're below, or I'm below, and shame, you're above. And that's life, and that's where I stay. All right? In our day and age, you'll see it all over the world. People with money, rich people, get preferential treatment. I remember being an usher, and I really enjoyed being an usher. But one of the parts of being an usher is you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly of Christians. And I was at ushering for a certain ministry, and they would have really, really big meetings, and people would fly from all over the world to usher. I mean, to go, and I got to usher and everything, and I must have really liked it because they made me wear a purple blazer. I've never worn purple before or since. So please keep your purple gifts to yourself, all right? If I wore purple, I would still think my dad would find me and say, son, what are you doing wearing purple? All right. So, but I remember being an usher, and this person wanted a seat up front, and they wanted it, a reserve seat. We didn't understand, or we didn't know who he was or whatever. And boy, he got mad. He said, don't you know how much money I give to this ministry? Yeah. And you'll see, if any of you have ever worked in an airport or you've worked at a restaurant, you know, rich people can be quite rude at times. All right. God wants you to be rude. God doesn't want you to be rude even if you have money. Right. I remember being in children's ministry at a certain church, and my wife and I, we were serving, and it was our first year of being married, and I think it was first grade class. And so that was the new intake of kids. They had first grade had gone to second grade, new intake. And in that class, we recognized that there were two associate pastors whose kids were in that class. All right. And, you know, we were just being sweet to everybody. Well, the very first day, this little girl walked straight up to me. She's 5 years old. She says, you do know who my dad is, right? And it was so cute at age 5. And I think she's now 29 years old. We tease her about it. And it's very cute at 5. It is not cute at age 35. You do know who I am. You do know who my father is. Expecting above. All right? I don't like. And so when in our relationships, if there's this above and below, things get weird really quick. And it's very difficult to be able to say yes and to know biblically and appropriately. If we bring it a little closer to home, because we don't want to just make fun of everybody else, probably you have heard some of these statements, you know, around election time. That group, that tribe will never rule Zambia. They're dull, they're slow, they're arrogant, they're whatever. Do you live in the same city I do? Do you listen to the radio? Ah, no, those those people, they're under us. We were doing a pastor's conference one time in an unnamed city in an unnamed province. And don't try to guess, all right, because God loves us all. But we were there, and I had a guest minister, and he was going to be ministering on the Good Samaritan. And culturally, Samaritans were below, half-breed Jews. Wrong worship, wrong mountain, them. That's why James and John were so quick to call, they wanted to call fire on those people. Okay. And so this guy was going to be preaching on that. And so the chairman of the pastor's fellowship, great guy, good friend of ours. And he said, you know, here in this part of the nation, who is considered a Samaritan? You know, what people group would you consider a Samaritan? And he said, well, honestly, in this culture where we are, anyone who's not from our tribe is a Samaritan. We are above everybody. Okay, then now don't stop thinking, stop trying to guess. All right. All right. And again, sometimes, you know, just because you get married, you're now given a seat at the adult table. How many of you know marriage doesn't make you mature? Many times in marriage, it just brings out your immaturity. It just lights the fire, puts down the pressure, and out pop all the craziness. All right. So that doesn't put you above or below. All right. And the problem is in society, many times, if I want to be seen as an adult, if I want a seat at the adult table, if I want to be taken serious, I'll do whatever you ask me to do for you to take me serious. All right. And if that means marrying a non-believer, you know, just to get married finally, I mean, goodness, I'm 30 years old and I'm not married. Do you know there are worse things in life than being 30 and not married? Okay, but the family pressure and they look down. So you just marry anyone that'll have you and you've just signed your misery sentence. Because it wasn't in the Lord and it wasn't godly. All right. So if I see myself as down, I will always have dysfunctional relationships. All right. So how do we do this? All right. Now, what we don't need to do is, you know, woman power, youth power, right? Congolese power. No, there's another way. There's a biblical way, and there's a way that God has done this for us to create us as equals, as equals. And so we relate to one another as the same. As equals. All right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here's what I want to present to you is that we need to find our voice and we need to find our adultness in Christ and nowhere else. It's not the car you drive. It's not where you live. It's not the style of your hair. It's not who you know or who you don't know. Okay? It is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with all longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Everybody say one. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So who raises us up to a level that is equal in Christ? It is the one Father. And we are baptized in one name, in one Spirit. Amen. Aren't you glad that you didn't get an inferior Holy Spirit? You didn't get the junior version. No, you got the full version. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith. Everybody say all. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay? So that's a fact. All right? And this is very similar to what we saw in Ephesians 4. Now, God is saying, if that's true, then this next part is true. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You all have a seat at the table. You all have the same inheritance. All right, so what are some of the things that he points out here? There's not nationality, ethnic group differences. Jew or Greek? And this was a big problem in the early church because the Jewish Christians felt like they were the insiders. We've had this covenant longer than you. And they saw themselves as above, as superior. So much so that when the very first time, and this scripture just cracks me up, in Acts chapter 10, the senior pastor, the chief apostle, the big bishop of the entire church of the world, Peter, is speaking before a group of Gentiles. And in the New Living Translation, he says, I just want to let you all know that it is very different for me to be speaking to people of another race. How's that for an introduction? You know? And so for 8 chapters after the Holy Ghost, Peter and the early church still wanted it to be an us thing and a them. And so when God saved the Gentiles there in Acts chapter 10 and baptized them with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues, Peter went back to report to the Jews and they were like, what? The Holy Spirit has fell on the Gentiles? Yeah. Joel chapter 2, duh. Right? All flesh. But they had a whole church council about what are we to do about the Gentiles? All right. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, nationality, ethnic group. There's neither slave nor free. And this is talking about our economic conditions. All right. And you probably heard this word, and it's not a nice word. But people will see certain group of people or whatever. Ah, those Caponias. Ah, I tell you, you know. Huh? Folks, we're all Caponias. And we've been picked and chosen and raised in Jesus and been given his name. Amen. And now we're his sons. Hallelujah. Just because you've got a nice car or a bank account or a job doesn't make you more important than anyone. It just means you have a higher responsibility to steward the resources that God has given you. But not to show off or to consider to be one up. All right. Or male nor female. All right. Now this is in Christ, right? Okay. Obviously we know outside of Christ there is male and female. And I'm glad. I'm a big fan of male and female. All right. But in Christ and in the way God treats us, there is neither male nor female. And I will look at this later, but there is nothing inherently more superior about being a man or about being a woman. You know, when you were born into the world, it was a coin toss. It's one or the other. And God bless us. All right. The Pharisees prayed a prayer. And to be a Pharisee, it was a men's only club. You couldn't be a woman. And so they would pray a prayer. And in the beginning of their prayers, they say, God, I thank you that you've made me a man and not a woman. Now, when I see my daughter and my wife putting on makeup and curling hair and putting on shoes, I'll, you know, sometimes that prayer does come to mind, you know. and the price of their haircuts and the extensions and oh my. You know, as a man, we need brown shoes and black shoes and we're good, right? So anyway, but there's nothing intrinsically better or worse. We are one. The Message Bible puts it this way. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew, non-Jew, slave, free, male and female. Among us, that's in Christ, among us, you are all equal. You are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. All right. So you have got to get it into your head and into your heart that you are neither superior nor inferior than anyone else in God's family. You are neither superior nor inferior. Now, we'll talk about this. We don't all have the same assignments. We all don't have the same roles. And there is authority in the home, in government, in family, in church. There are roles, but it doesn't make one person more important or intrinsically better than another person. Okay? Let's look over at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and to become like Him. In this new life, everybody say in this life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. Listen to this from the Message Bible. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. They mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is defined by Christ. And either people are in the family of God, or they are people that we are reaching out to and loving and ministering to bring them into the family of God. All right? They're either family members or potential family members. All right. Everyone is included in Christ. All right. Now, that feeling of being under. All right. This was a feeling and a sense that people in the Bible had to deal with to reach their destiny. All right. Because again, the way that we are going to relate to one another, we have to relate to one another as adults, adult to adult. I put away childish things. I became a man. I became a woman. All right. But again, not everyone wants this to happen. Some people have mindsets that have to be overcome. But let's look at some examples of this. We mentioned this. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Saul had lied to Samuel, had spared some of the Amalekites, made excuses, tried to spiritualize it. And the preceding chapter, when Samuel was addressing on his way to see Saul, God told Samuel, I'm finished with him. I'm done. Okay. There is going to be a regime change. I'm tired of Saul. All right. And so then the very next chapter, he said, now go to the house of Jesse and I will show you who's going to be the next king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 10. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Now, who made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel? Dad. Why didn't he include all of his kids? Because Dad, Jesse, didn't think that David was king material. Do you see this? All right. He's the youngest. He's at the bottom of the food chain. He's just a kid. He's not an adult. But God had a destiny on David that his dad didn't see. And I'm sorry to tell you this, But many, many times, your family won't see your destiny. You'll see it before they do. Now, maybe they'll see it later once you step into it. All right? And we talked about some of these things. So Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." Verse 12. So he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord says, "Arise and anoint him, for this is the one." Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? In the midst of, he didn't do it privately. You. Okay, where's the little guy? All right, don't go away. I want you to see this, brothers. You, bloop, 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 here comes the oil. Right? In the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. All right? So he was ignored. He was not thought of. He wasn't even seen as a possible candidate. All right? So David could have accepted that role in life. He could have just said, "Well, I'm Jesse's son, and I'll just be dominated, and I'll just let life treat me this way." All right? So, very next chapter, even though the oil came on his head, David is still marginalized. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. But when David's older brother, Eliab, now, background, remember, so all of the army of Israel is being threatened by the Philistines, and Goliath would come out once a day and taunt them and say, "Bring someone to me, we'll fight." Okay? And all of the army, including David's three brothers that were there, were hiding in their tents. How many of you know that's not the makeup of a warrior? Okay? They were all afraid, all intimidated. So David was just coming to deliver food on behalf of his father and to get some news. Okay? So David began to have conversation. Who's this guy? Now what's going to happen? Free taxes? The king's wife? Now tell me again. What's going to happen to the man that kills this guy? All right. Verse 28. But when David's older brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, the army men, he was angry. "What are you doing here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit." Oh, sorry. I don't see any pride and deceit. No, I... See, people will judge you. They'll talk down to you. "I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." Verse 29. "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." And he walked over to some others and asked the same thing and received the same answer. Message Bible. This is David's response to his brother. "What is it with you? All I did was ask a question." Ignoring his brother, he turned to someone else. All right. And there are times where God wants you to step up, and God has an assignment, and God needs you to be grown up. He needs you to run to the giant. Little kids don't do that. All right. But David was big enough. David was anointed enough, and God knew he could do this. But other people wanted to keep him in his place. You see that? All right? They did not see him as an adult and spoke down to him. Now, here's somebody. Turn over to Judges chapter 6. And we don't know how this happened to him, but this was not necessarily coming from the outside. Poor old Gideon, he had this in his heart. And he already saw himself this way. All right? Judges 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Beerzerite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. All right? You're not supposed to thresh wheat in the winepress. You're supposed to do it out in the fields. But he was afraid, he was intimidated of the Midianites, so he was hiding because he didn't want to get his stuff stolen. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all these happened to us? And why are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?'" Whining, complaining, Gideon, right? "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Now, watch his logic. "Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." See, it was a cultural thing, wasn't it? So Manasseh wasn't one of the top tribes of the 12 tribes already. All right. And so our family is at the bottom of the worst tribe. And in my family, I'm at the bottom. Gideon was not at the bottom of the barrel. The barrel was on Gideon. What he's saying is, I am the most unqualified person because of my status, of my family position. Right? What did the Lord say? Verse 16. Oh, thanks for clarifying that with me. I must have gotten the wrong person. After all, that's, you know, if that's the way you feel about it. No, he said, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Amen. So God wants us to be in Christ, in our assignment, in the place that he has for us. And we aren't, that does not make us better or more important. It doesn't make us below or inferior. All right. Now, we do have authority or assignments in life. All right. And that can be in government. It can be in the home. It can be in church. It can be in different places. Ephesians 5:21, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." All right. So we submit to one another. And throughout life, we will always be more than likely under submission in some way, shape. And we will be having authority where others are under our authority. All right. Now, again, it's not because we're superior. It's just simply the position that God has given us. Okay. And if God has given us a role of authority, that role of authority is not to dominate. As Jesus said, we don't do this as the Gentiles and rule over them. It is a position of service. It is a position because God wants us to be there to love and to lead and to help and to bring assistance. Okay? And that authority is there for the sake of service. It's there for the sake of decision making, all right? It is not there for self. It is not there for self-gratification, all right? Now, the other thing about authority is always limited. There is always a jurisdiction. There is only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that name is not your name. Okay. And so if you are a husband, God has called you to lead in that home. All right. And that's why in Ephesians 5 later, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." It does not say submit to every male. It doesn't. That is completely unbiblical. That women, that you just have to go, and every man that you come in contact with is somehow superior than you. They're not. If they don't have a role of authority over you, they don't. That authority is limited. All right. I believe, and from the Word of God, that a pastor has authority to shepherd and to lead in a congregation. But that is limited. I'm not a pastor of somebody that's not at Miracle Life. I'm just Walker. I'm just a guy. And we can be friends and be Christians, but I don't have a role that God gave me to be everybody's pastor. You know, sometimes people will say, you know, this person is South Africa's pastor, America's pastor. No, they're not. They're not. Okay, and being on TV doesn't make you a pastor. It just makes you on TV. You know, and that can be good or bad, all right? It can be in the will of God or out of the will of God, all right? So that role of authority is limited. Right? Thank God for the Zambian police. Aren't you glad? And I think they do a great job. But when they cross the border into Zimbabwe, nobody cares who they are. I don't care about your badge. Put your badge down and submit. Come under the authority that is here. Okay? So it doesn't make us superior, nor does it make us inferior. All right? Now, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul, the apostle, one of the things that he showed was if anyone had a reason to brag or to be one up, it was him. If you want to talk about credentials, if you want to do this, then we can have a credential showdown and I'm going to win this battle with you. All right. But that is not how Paul lived his life. It's not how he presented himself even as an apostle and as a minister of where he went. Okay. Philippians 3 verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks they may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day. Now watch this list. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Paul said, that's not how Paul sees Paul. That's not how I relate to people. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That I might be found in Him. Not in my maleness. Not in my Jewishness, not in my nationality or my color or my age or my marital status or my economic status or my education. I don't want to be found in those things. I don't want to see myself in those. Are they true? Yes. They're not going away. That has happened to me and I am that, but that's not the biggest thing about me. And in fact, it's rubbish. It's love. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. So, God wants you to step up. God wants you to put on big boy clothes. I remember when our kids were little. And yeah, they were little kids' clothes because they had funny cartoons and this and that. And you know, we were out to eat the other day after church one time, and this little must have been about 3 years old. He comes up to our table and he was dressed up as Spider-Man. He says, "I am Spider-Man." I said, "Hello, Spider-Man. How you doing?" And we started talking. You know, well, he believes he is Spider-Man, okay, because he's got on a Spider-Man costume. All right, and it's cool when you're a kid to be Spider-Man, but some of you, 32 years old, put the Spider-Man clothes down. Walk away. Let's join the adult table. We are not under and we are not above, regardless of our status or what other people think. Right? We are equal in Christ. We are equal in Christ. We are have been raised together to sit with Him, Ephesians tells us. And here's the thing. There is no higher place to go. We're seated in Christ. We're seated with Him. We have dignity. We have purpose. And it means we can rise up in our relationships and say, excuse me, I'm asking. Excuse me, no. Excuse me, I'm an adult. I belong here. I'm in Christ. And if you don't see me that way, I'm sorry, but I am that way. And I won't let you talk to me that way. And I'm going to conduct myself as an adult. And I'm going to rise up as an adult. I'm going to take responsibility in my relationships. Amen? And I'm going to allow other people to be that way as well. King George VI. I don't know if you've seen the movie The King's Speech. I love that movie, except for one scene. So get the PG version of it where they take out the cussing, all right? And he had this speech impediment, and he was a prince, and so he, you know, his role was very limited, but his father, the king, dies. Then his brother, who's supposed to be the king, abdicates the throne because he wants to be married to a divorced American lady, all right? And so he doesn't want to be the king. So now he's got to become the king. But he can't speak in front of people. He has this speech impediment. So he has a coach, and he has someone to help him to learn and to do these things. And there's a, right before he's coronated and they're in the Westminster Abbey, there's this wonderful scene of these two, his mentor and the future king arguing. And his mentor is saying, why should I even listen to you? You don't even want to be king. He says, I have a right. He says, and he screams, I have a voice. And his mentor says, you certainly do. And let me tell you folks, you have a voice. Not because you're a king, not because of divine right, but because you are in Christ. You are in Him. We've been brought and raised together in Him. So in your relationships, look people in the eye. Hold your head up. Speak with authority. Don't be arrogant. All right? Don't be rude, but stand up for God. Stand up for the things of God. Obey the Bible. Obey His word. Fulfill your destiny. Say yes to the right things. Say no to the wrong things. And if the whole world doesn't like it, too bad for the whole world. Because I'm an adult. I'm in Christ. I'm grown up. And I'm going to take my place in the world that God has created for me to live in. Amen? Amen. All right. So, you are supposed to be here. And God wants you to take your place to give and to receive love in relationships. He wants you to take your place to be aware of evil and wrong and to distance yourself and to do what the Bible says to do about that. Amen? You can do it because of who God made you to be. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank You. Father, that, Lord, really our whole life, people have been telling us who we are. And they tell us based on so many different factors, so many different things. But You see us as Your son. You see us as Your daughter. We've been brought into the family. We've been raised together with Christ. And Father, I ask You, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we can see what You see, the hope of our calling, that upward calling of Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to see who we really are. Not in our flesh, not in our gender, not in our nationality or in our economic status, but in Christ. Father, that we'll live that way. We'll relate to other people that way. Father, we have so much to offer, so much to give. And Lord, I thank You that we'll do just that. If you're here in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can. You can be in Christ. You can be in His family. 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the price. He did everything possible to bring you in. And while the price has been paid, the debt has been canceled, now it's your decision. You have to say yes or say no. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about being baptized as a baby or going to a class. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the very God who made you. See, the only way we have a relationship with him is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And that's a choice and a decision you have to make for yourself. And if you haven't done that, today is your day. It's your day to be part of God's family. Maybe you are a believer, you're a Christian, but you've turned your back on God. You've turned your back on his word, and your life is filled with a lot of hurt, a lot of rebellion. And today is a day to come home. Just like the prodigal son did, he woke up and he realized, I'm going home today. That can be your decision today. And if it is, if you say, Pastor, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of my life. I want to come home to him right now. If that's you, wherever you are, simply lift up your hand. Simply lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in the family of God. Anyone at all right now. Say, Pastor, that's my decision. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If that's you, don't leave this place without saying yes to Jesus Christ. Just before we pray, anyone? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you. All right. Father, Lord, if there is anyone here, Father, who needs to make that decision, Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit will go with them, Father, and that you will continue to minister to them. And Father, help them to come to a place of saying yes to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today we're going to receive communion, and we're going to receive communion as a church family. And if you are a member of the body of Christ, you are welcome to partake of communion with us. You don't necessarily have to be a member of Miracle Life, but if you're a part of God's family, we would welcome you. We're going to receive communion, the elements.